Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Yes, it is. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Delighted you are along for the ride on a really busy Monday. We opened the show today talking about Carolina Duke. I will tell you, that was one of those games that it kills me that it was on a Saturday. You know, having spent an entire lifetime now covering sports Monday through Friday, the fact that I wasn't on the air the next morning broke my heart because that was so good. The last time I remember feeling that way was the kick six. Remember the kick six when Auburn, you know, runs back that field goal try at the end to beat Alabama? I remember seeing that happen. I remember thinking to myself, find me a show to host tomorrow. I need to talk about this. And I felt that way watching that game on Saturday night. I actually was lobbying for us to do it in NBA Countdown yesterday.
Like, couldn't sell it?
We should talk about the game, guys. It was that kind of good.
By the way, I saw that it was the second highest rated cable basketball game of all time. It did about 16 million people watched it. The only game that did a better number was when Wisconsin upset Kentucky the year they were undefeated, but 2015, that game was on TBS too. So the second highest rated game in cable history.
Yeah, I wonder how much of an impact being on cable has. I mean, how many more people would have watched it otherwise? This out of home viewing these days and all that kind of stuff. I don't care. One way or another, it was like the world stopped and we just watched that game and it was awesome. And I have a few thoughts on it. Some are ridiculous and some are sublime. Let's start with the sublime. North Carolina entered this tournament with 100-1 odds to win it. They would be the biggest pre-tournament long shot to win the NCAA tournament in over 25 years. They played a game this year in which they lost to Kentucky by 29 points. That would be the second largest by an eventual national champ since the field expanded in 85. They had four 20-point losses this year, which would be the most by an eventual national champ of all time. So Carolina, it is impossible to overstate how unpredictable this was. Like it, when you watch them play now, you say to yourself, why were they not better than this all year long? And I won't pretend that I can answer that question. But you watch them now and nothing that they're doing looks like a fluke. They were toe-to-toe with Duke, which was a 2-seed. Carolina was an 8-seed. So, but it's worth pointing out that the numbers historically, well, you will look back and you will say this was, if they win tonight, one of the unlikeliest NCAA champions ever.
But because it's Carolina, seeing the 8 next to North Carolina made no sense. It threw me off the whole night, especially because they beat Duke and Duke did not play badly. Like UNC was every bit as good in that game. But I would also say that I think they stand almost no chance tonight because the game is 2 days ago. That's as big an emotional high. You cannot possibly get higher. If you're a college athlete on any level in any sport, that's the highest high that you can possibly reach. For them to have to come all the way back down 2 days later and play a Kansas team, which is, oh, by the way, really good, I don't think Carolina has almost any chance to win tonight.
I totally disagree. And I will tell you why. I think they play fast and loose tonight. I think, Jay said earlier, Saturday night was not the championship. This is the championship. I see it a little differently. I think they got all the pressure in the world off their backs. They're going home heroes. They're going home to, there may not literally be a parade, but there will be a figurative parade. They beat their arch rivals, and they have that win in the bank. And I think that they play comparatively loose. I think the big question for me is whether the big kid, Baycott, if his ankle is really bad. Because he turned that thing. I didn't think there was anywhere in the world he'd continue to play that night. And Kansas has this big kid, McCormick, who you watched on Saturday night. He's obviously very good. So if Baycott is really hobbled, you know, the adrenaline wears off and 48 hours later he can't walk. If that's the case, then I think that's a big factor in the game. Other than that, I think they play free, loose, and easy tonight. And I will tell you about a time this did happen before. And that is, I'm old enough to remember this game. You probably are not. But the first year that Duke ever won a championship, the Leitner, Hurley, that team, they beat the best college basketball team I've ever seen. They beat an unbeaten UNLV, a team that had Larry Johnson and Armon Gilliam and was the other guy who came in. The center was Greg Ackles. Greg Anthony was on that team. I'm forgetting one other guy who was Stacey Augmon was on that team. They beat that team. That team, that UNLV team, beat Duke in the championship game the year before 1-6. I don't remember the actual score. That was the game Bobby Hurley literally had to run off the court and go to the bathroom in the middle of the game. They were humiliated in the national championship. What was the score?
103-73.
They killed him. 103-73 doesn't even begin to tell you how one-sided that game was. And the next year they come back and UNLV is unbeaten in the Final Four. And Duke gets them again. And Duke beat them. That remains one of the most surprising games I've ever seen. No one thought Duke had a chance. And then Duke came back. That was the team that had humiliated them the year before. And then Duke came back two nights later and beat Kansas for the title. And I think there's a similarity in that. So I think Carolina winds up playing very well tonight. Now, having said all of that, the most astonishing thing I have heard connected to this came from Dave Rothenberg. Now, for those of you across the country, Dave Rothenberg hosts the early morning show on ESPN Radio in New York with Rick DiPietro. And he's a friend of the show, and he's one of the most passionate and ridiculous sports fans I've ever met in my life. And I say that with love. He takes everything to the nth degree. He's a lunatic when it comes to the teams that he cares about. So help me set up this soundbite I'm about to play, Nuno.
So his 11-year-old son, Alex. So Dave is a Georgetown / Duke fan. It's kind of fraudulent. I love Dave, but kind of fraudulent. His 11-year-old son, Alex, somehow, some way, has become a huge Carolina fan. And apparently Alex was out of control on Saturday with Carolina winning and just the way he was acting and so forth, which rubbed Dave the wrong way. So now the issue is you have an 11-year-old. The tip is at 9:20. So Dave is putting his foot down and saying, no, you can't watch the game. And in this clip, I think part of it is you'll realize he's doing this because he's a Duke fan and he's still upset about the Carolina win.
Here we go.
When Alex, because, I mean, he's going to become you at some point, does this to his kid, and he tells a story, when he was 11 and North Carolina had just beat Duke, is now playing in the national championship game against Kansas, that you, Grandpa, would not let him stay up because
That's
you
right.
were upset that Carolina beat Duke.
That's right.
Ipso facto, you're a bad dad.
Yeah, maybe. I'm still upset with that game, and I hate Carolina.
Yeah, but let the fact that Carolina beat Duke now affect your relationship with Alex.
Well, you know what? Sports is a very important part of our lives.
All right, let me ask you this question. If Alex and you were rooting for the same team, so say Duke wins, but Alex is a huge Duke fan like you are, would you let Alex stay up tonight to watch the Duke game?
Maybe.
No, not maybe. Absolutely.
Yeah, maybe.
Boy, that's terrible. That's really terrible. I'm going to tell you a story, and it is not about sports, but when I was a little kid, there was a movie called The Front Page. Don't ask me why, but this was a movie, a movie like from the 40s, I want to say, that was being aired at midnight. And this was at a time when you couldn't just watch a movie anytime you wanted to. The fact that this movie was going to be on TV, my parents were talking at great length about how excited they were to watch it. And I was a little kid. I mean, I couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 years old. And I said, I really want to watch this movie. And my father said to my mother, we're going to let Michael watch this movie, stay up late tonight, because he will remember how much fun we had watching this movie a lot longer than he will remember how tired he was the next day. I've told that story to each of my kids 10 million times as I let them stay up and watch things, mostly sports, because here I am, 54 years old, and I still remember where we sat. I still remember watching that movie with my father. And in fact, I went to sleep that night at my normal time, and he came in and woke me up and got me out of bed so I can come and watch the movie with him. I remember it like it was yesterday. So the idea that because of your fandom, like I'm trying to put myself in this situation. If Stevie is a Patriot fan and the Patriots beat the Jets in the AFC championship game, I'm then not going to let him stay up to watch his team in the Super Bowl because they beat my team to get there. Boy, that's bordering on way over the line. Yes?
Oh.
I mean, way over the line.
This is one of the few moments in Alex's life. Like, this is a truly scarring experience. For me, it was when my mother, when I was in eighth grade, ran out to the middle of the field and handed me my inhaler at the first soccer practice. I will never forgive her for that. I'm still embarrassed about it, as you can tell. But this is a moment that Alex is going to, it's going to be hard for him to get over it, man. I mean, UNC beats Duke in the Final Four in the best second half I've ever seen in my life. I don't even care about the game myself. and he missed it because his dad was angry at him. Oh man, that is low, man. That's low.
This is crossing a line. Yes.
Oof. It's definitely crossing a line. And part of the conversation that they had was at some point Dave. And this is his wife had to step in because he was like, oh, so you'll do anything to watch this game. Would you run a marathon on the treadmill? So like the kid actually apparently got ready to go run a marathon and brought like 5 jugs of water. And then Dave turns to him and is like, well, will you drink all that water in 5 minutes? It's just like you can't do that. And the funny part is Dave talks about when he was a kid and how his mother wouldn't let him stay up to watch the Georgetown finals. Remember when the run against Houston and then Carolina, and she wouldn't let him watch that, and how he still holds that against her, but yet because Carolina's in the final, beats Duke, nope, you can't watch it. That's kind of bad.
This is horrendous.
It is.
I mean, this story just gets, the longer you talk, the worse this gets. I am appalled.
Generations of bitterness here. Unnecessarily, too.
The damage that I think could be done from this is worthy of a serious consideration. All right. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Save on commercial auto insurance and Progressive. Get a fast quote at progressivecommercial.com. We have the most 2022 sports story of all time coming up next. Don't miss it on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We come to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We are brought to you by Chase. So many different things that we have working here today, and we'll set aside some time for some calls. But I want to tell you a quick story, because we have the most 2022 sports story of all time. In a long time before 2022, this would have been in 1991 or two. No, before two. 1990 or 91. I was fired from a job in what I think was the worst way you could get fired from a job, or at least in that moment I thought it was. I was working at WMAQ News Radio in Chicago as a part-time production assistant, and I made $6.50 an hour. I was an NPA, and I worked a news production assistant. I worked the 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. shift. And then I started working my way into the sports department, where I was allowed to do like some sports production work. And the way it worked in those days, when you were part-time, I didn't have a full-time job. So they would post, like on a piece of paper, they would put up on a wall, there's like a bulletin board, the schedule like 2 weeks hence. And that's how I would know my hours, because I was just part-time. So when I would see them putting that up there, I would go over on a Tuesday and be, okay, a week from Sunday, I've got this shift, I've got this shift, I've got this shift. I go over one night. There's like two people in the room. It's like 2 a.m. in a radio station. I go over, and my name is no longer on the piece of paper. And there's no explanation given for this, but there is no name. There are no shifts. There is no nothing. So I have to wait. My shift ends at 4 a.m., but I have to wait just sitting there by myself like an idiot until someone who can answer this question shows up for work that day. So something like 8:30 in the morning, a person who I'm not going to say their name, but whatever, comes into work, and I have to go into that person's office and knock on the door and say, I'm sorry to bother you at the beginning of your work day, but I can't help but notice that my name is no longer on the wall. What does this mean? And this person looked at me and said, and I quote, "Unfortunately, it means that you no longer work here." And that's a true story. They had eliminated the position. They had eliminated the job that I was doing. And I think that's what he said. I said, the person said to me, "Unfortunately, it means that there is no longer a job for you." And there was really nothing I could do but say, "Okay, thank you," and leave.
And you remember that person's name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember.
It fuels you to this day, huh?
I remember. No, it was a person that I knew other than that, and I do not think was a bad person. I think it was an oversight, because it's easy to forget about the kid making $6.50 an hour. But that's why I hope that I have never acted that way around the people who make $6.50 an hour now, who work here, because I know exactly what it's like to be that person. I don't know how much they literally make, but whatever the current equivalent of that person is. Anyway, I thought that was about the worst way you could find out you had lost the job. And then Hembo told me a story about something that happened this weekend that might have been even worse.
Okay. Yeah.
What is that?
So on Saturday, the Rangers and the Yankees, they announced a trade, as often is the case during this time of year. Jose Trevino was traded to the Yankees in exchange for two players, Albert Abreu and Robbie Alstrom. So the Yankees traded away two players by the name of Albert Abreu and Robbie Alstrom. And what I saw is that Robbie Alstrom found out he was traded on Instagram. So I took a screenshot of it. There's an Instagram handle called Yankees Source, which publicly posts, "Good luck in Texas, Robert Alstrom. Gonna miss you." To which he himself replies, "Wait, what?" To which the Yankees source replies, "You got traded." To which he replies, "I did."
And it is remarkable that it turns out to be true. Like, you can get punked pretty easily in life. You can get fooled. Anyone could tweet at me or text at me. I agree. Good luck at, you know, well, I don't know what that would be. But, you know, good luck in your next job because ESPN just fired you, whatever it is. And, ah, ha, ha, ha. You know, this guy's right. This guy's right. You got traded. I did? That could never have happened. When in the day and age when you were waiting to have your name written on a piece of paper and then put up on a wall on the bulletin board, you were never going to find out on Instagram that you had been traded by a viewer.
I feel like this happens in sports, though, like way too much. Like every organization needs to have assigned a bad news person or just like a news person. If we're trading you, you should probably find out before, I don't know, someone tells you on Instagram. But this seems to be like kind of common, does it
I
not?
I guess my question is, how does Yankee Source know this? So this is the person on Instagram whose handle is Yankee Source. How does that person know that Robert Alstrom has been traded before Robert Alstrom does?
That person just saw on Twitter from Ken Rosenthal or any person.
Okay, well, what that means is that someone broke this story before the information was relayed to the participants. That's obviously not the way you ever want that to go. But my point is, this isn't big enough news that it was going to be everywhere. Like, what you're telling me is that one of the baseball insiders did actually post this.
Have the news, right. But even
this guy, Robert Alstrom, could have seen that any number of ways.
Sure, but here's a bigger example. So Bobby Wagner said publicly, like, "Yeah, I didn't even know the Seahawks were going to let me go." Like, how is that possible? How is it possible that you could work for the Seahawks for 10 years, be great, and then find out that way? Does the news cycle really have to move that fast?
Well, in this day and age, in the coverage of sports, this is probably true in the coverage of most things, there's so many people digging into stories, and news can come from anywhere, can literally come from anywhere. So if the two of us are having a private, let's say the two of us are having a conversation one day off the air, we're not near any microphones, there are any number of people sitting around us. Like in this day and age, if I'm in a restaurant or something like that, I make sure everyone's talking quietly because anyone sitting around you that realizes who you are can easily just, you know, I sometimes will see pictures of me someplace. I was like, I know I was there. Why is there a picture of me there? Because people will just say, and if they hear you say something, that's it. It's news now. It's out there now. So this can have gotten anywhere, literally anywhere. So, of course, in a perfect world, would all the players who ever get traded find that out some other way than at Yankee Source posting, "Good luck in Texas, we're going to miss you"? Obviously. Now, I have written down here, now I'm going to admit something. I have written down in our Google Doc that we made that I was going to ask you to do the Q score conversation here. And I realize now, as we sit here, because that was when we put that in the Google Doc, it's about 4 hours ago. I don't remember what that conversation is. What was I going to ask you about Q scores?
Well, I saw a top 10 Q score released over the weekend. There's a site called Sportico. They do a lot of sports business stuff. And what they did was post a graphic in which they detail the top 10 athletes in sports by Q score. And they have defined Q score. They measure the percentage of those familiar with a personality that rate them as one of their favorites. And what I thought was interesting is that the names on the top 10 weren't all the names I expected to be in the top 10.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's hold that thought. And let's see, Nuno, do you know what the list is? Because I didn't put any, I don't know any of the names. Do you know who any of the people are, or can you guess this with me?
We'll guess, because I haven't seen the list.
Okay, either. I haven't seen it either. So you're telling me we will be surprised by the top 10 Q scores in sports today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we will do that coming up next and a whole bunch of other things right after this word from NetSuite. In growing companies, there are two kinds of CFOs. There's the one who's overwhelmed with manual processes, errors, and lack of control of the numbers, and then the one who uses NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. With visibility and control of financials, inventory, HR, planning, and budgeting, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. The CFOs that get it, get it. The CFOs that don't, don't. Head to NetSuite.com/Greeny for a special one-of-a-kind financing offer. NetSuite.com/Greeny. We're back in a flash on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Greeny with you here. We'll answer the question in 30 seconds. Actually, two interesting questions that we have on the table here before we wrap up for the day. But I'll spend those 30 seconds telling you about ZipRecruiter. According to research, 90% of employers plan to make enhancing the employee experience a top priority in 2022. After all, a happy workplace, like one that allows for a flexible schedule and focuses on company culture, is key to attracting and keeping great employees. And if you need to add more employees to your team, there's ZipRecruiter, with technology that finds the right candidates for your job and proactively presents them to you. You can easily review these candidates and invite your top choices to apply. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. That's ZipRecruiter.com/GREENY. Very quickly, before we get to the Q score, and for those around the country just joining us, Dominique Foxworth has happened by and is going to hang out with us here and help us answer this Q score question in a moment. But Nuno asked a different question, which is, there are three super high profile coaching vacancies that could become created this offseason in the NBA. And one of them would be Philly if Doc gets fired. One would be Brooklyn if Steve Nash gets fired. And the third would be LA, where it seems certain Frank Vogel will be fired. And we asked the question, which is the most attractive of those jobs? And to me, it's not even a question.
It's Brooklyn.
It's Brooklyn, and it's not even close. I hate to say this to you, Hembo. I know how much you love your Sixers. But at the end of the day, the Nets are better than the Sixers. They're going to continue to be better than the Sixers because the Sixers are going to get worse. Right. The Sixers are going to give $250 million to James Harden to become the biggest albatross in the NBA over the next 5 years. If you think he looks slow now, Wait until he has all the money he's ever going to get paid, and it's 3 years from now.
Some heavy money. It's going to slow him down. Mm. I would put on top of it that the Nets' biggest issue right now is not offense, it's defense. And they have a guy who's really good at defense in Ben Simmons.
Waiting in the wings.
Who's waiting in the wings. Yeah. So this team gets better, potentially, without even making any changes. And if you're a ring-chasing veteran, where do you want to go? Like, that seems like the place that you have the best opportunity
to build.
I think
that's exactly it. I think for all those reasons and more, I think Harden, you know, I don't, you know, I brought this up the other day, Neek, and we'll get this as What's On Your Mind, brought to you by My Computer, Career Training for a Better Life. Before I get to that Q score, I feel like people are very hesitant for whatever reason, and this might just be a function of the world in which we live today, every now and again, just to say things that we can all obviously see. So James Harden, look, he's had a magnificent career. He's been a terrific player. He's made all the money in the world. God bless him. But the reality is, you look at the NBA, you look at the condition these guys keep themselves in, and every time I see James Harden not moving quickly on a basketball court, I'll hear people say, well, maybe that hamstring still isn't quite right. Yeah. He hurt his hamstring a year ago.
Yeah.
Why is it? No, everyone is just afraid to say, you know what, that guy's not in the same shape that all these other guys are, because you don't get in shape. You don't do a training regimen at 2 a.m. with Lil Baby in a club. That's just not the way they're, that's not what he's doing. LeBron James hasn't eaten a carb in all these years. Say what you want about LeBron, but LeBron James ready. That guy is in the shape. He's 37 years old and he's going to lead the league in scoring.
Yeah, I think the expectations for players have changed because science has changed, and frankly, the level of professionalism has changed, and LeBron was at the forefront of that. We see it across sports where guys across many sports can be more effective for longer. That does not mean the same thing for everyone. And I would say that James Harden, if you asked me 5 years ago, I would have said James Harden would be someone whose game ages well, because I never look at James Harden and think explosive. And so I would say Russell Westbrook, game's going to age poorly because he can't shoot can't shoot well enough. And
no, he can't shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Had it right the first time.
Yeah, he can't shoot. And his game is based on, his game is like my game, except better. It's based on athleticism. Like, I'm not going to skill you to death, but I'm faster and quicker than you. When I'm no longer faster and quicker than you, then I stop playing basketball. Russell's getting paid $47.5 million next year to continue to do so. So James Harden, I would have thought, would age well, but I do think that the fouls, the change of the emphasis on the fouls, because that was a lot of the what he used to get past people, was the threat of the fouls. Them taking that out, and when his shooting is not like lights out, which it is most of the time, then players don't have to play close up on him, and it really takes his effectiveness away. So I do think that James Harden is one of those guys who I would have thought his old man game would keep going, but I think his old man game is just old now.
I think the Phillies, their best chance, not the Phillies, but Philly's best chance was to win it immediately with those guys together this year, and it does not look like they're going
it's
in
possible.
That direction.
Like, James Harden is not above pacing himself. So it's possible that James Harden is, because I would say one of the positive or the exciting things about adding James Harden to Philly is you look at James Harden's best seasons, when he would have playoff woes, we could point to the fact that his usage rate was astronomical throughout the regular season. Mm-hmm. So then you're like, he's exhausted. And so then you look at this situation, and you're like, well, he's been resting a lot of this season. Maybe he'll be in condition, and maybe he's still resting, potentially. Like, that's the only hope you
have.
In
the earliest days of Get Up, I brought that up, because that was at the height of Houston being what they were. And I asked Jalen Rose, will that be a problem for them in the playoffs? And you know what he said to me? No one gets tired playing offense.
That's fair, but apparently someone does get tired playing offense when you miss all your threes in game six, an elimination game against the Golden State Warriors. So I don't know if it was fatigue or what, but there was a problem in that game. So that's the only hope I would have if I was in Philadelphia. I'm watching the Sixers. I'm saying, my guy James, he's just resting up.
It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It'll help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free so you can drive with peace of mind. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Okay, one more piece of business, and that is Hembo. So you said this to me in the office this morning. You have the Q score, which is, again, it is, how are you defining it again?
So they're measuring this as the percentage of those familiar with a personality, a player, that rate them as one of their favorites. So have you heard of them? And do you consider this athlete one of
your favorites? It's not just how well known a person is, but how well known and liked.
Correct.
It's
both. It is both.
And this is international or just American?
This is international.
Okay. So the top 10, and it includes active and retired players?
Yes. Top 10 athletes by Q score, active and retired.
Living
athletes.
And dead or just living?
There are only living athletes on my list.
Okay.
Here.
All right. Fair enough. So let's start. Michael Jordan has to be one of them, right?
Jordan's on it.
Michael Jordan is two.
I'd say, so it's going to be, it's just international. So we got to bring in the footy. I'm thinking, we got Messi, Ronaldo, Mbappe, guys like that.
How many of them? Messi, Ronaldo, and Mbappe.
There are two soccer players, but neither, you've not mentioned either yet.
Oh, Harry Kane?
No, there's
hold
one.
On. Hold on a second. Hold on. There are two soccer players.
One man and one woman. So there's one.
And neither Lionel Messi nor Cristiano Ronaldo are among them.
Correct.
Perceive them, and I do not pretend to be a soccer expert. I perceive them to be the biggest stars in the world. I do have a soccer expert, however, on speed dial. Nuno, who is it?
Well, if it's neither of those guys, then it has to be Pelé, then.
That is also incorrect.
Then this is flawed. I mean, at the end of the day, this
Maradona?
Is flawed.
Is it an active player? Maradona's dead.
Yeah.
Right? He just died.
He just died.
No, I know, but... Oh, yeah, you said no. Yeah.
Is it an active player?
It's an active player. A very famous active player.
It's a very famous active player.
And maybe you said it when you were rifling off names, but I didn't hear it so far.
Pulisic?
Very famous player.
I mean, it's not Pulisic.
The only other,
he said Mbappe. He said
no,
I said
it's
Mbappe,
not. So then it's, is it Neymar?
It is Neymar.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so Neymar. And then there's one on the U.S. women's national team.
So it'd be Megan Rapinoe?
Not Rapinoe, actually.
Alex Morgan?
Alex Morgan is correct. Yeah. So Alex Morgan is five on this list.
Okay.
Neymar is eight.
We're not doing great, guys.
Michael Jordan is two. It's a very curious
we
list.
We don't
of
have
names.
One.
You don't have one.
You're saying the number one best known and loved athlete in the world is someone whose name we've not said.
That's correct.
LeBron?
LeBron's not in the top 10.
Okay.
I've got a guess.
It's got to be a basketball player.
Could it be Roger Federer?
Federer is not in the top 10. There are two more basketball players. One is active, beloved, generally speaking, and the other is not. But another beloved.
Steph Curry?
Steph Curry is not on this list.
Jordan. We already said that.
Mm-hmm.
Magic Johnson.
By the way, Jordan's familiarity is 76%, which means one in four Americans said no. I don't know Michael Jordan.
I don't know
Jordan.
Who Michael Jordan is.
I don't believe,
you believe that.
I don't believe
that. Wait, you're, so well, hold on.
Oh, it's international players, but the list is from American. It's American people polled in this.
Correct.
Okay, so that threw me a little bit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's international players.
Hold on. Yeah. What basketball player have we not said?
That's
Kevin Durant?
Bigger than Jordan?
Not Durant.
Bigger than Jordan, bigger
not bigger,
than LeBron.
Not bigger, just
well, like, someone like Luka, right?
More likable, if you will.
Giannis?
Viewed more favorably. Giannis is correct. Giannis is number seven on this list. There's another retired NBA player who was 10.
Dirk Nowitzki?
No, with a very high, his familiarity level is almost identical to Michael Jordan.
It's got to be someone crossover appeal, Dwayne Wade.
Not Dwayne
Wade.
Someone
who's married or dating a superstar.
Not Dwayne Wade.
Wait a minute. You're saying there's a retired basketball player who was on this list who is still alive? Because I was going to say Kobe Bryant, but it's not. He's someone who's still alive.
And still very much in the public eye. Very well.
Charles Barkley?
No, but you're thinking right there.
Shaq.
Shaq is correct. So Shaq is 10. Nice. Giannis is 7. Jordan is 2. Alex Morgan is 5, and Neymar is 8. So those
who can be one?
Those are the five we have. So far.
See, I can't understand who can be one.
See, this is why I wanted to bring this up, because I could not. I was very surprised by their findings. Very surprised.
This is American fans we're talking about.
There are two gymnasts on this list at number 3 and number 9.
What is her name?
Simone Biles?
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles is number 3.
Carrie Shrug?
No, the Auburn.
Yes, Suni
gymnast.
Lee is correct. Suni Lee, yep. Yes, she is number 9. She is number 9.
Suni Lee.
Suni Lee.
I'm out.
Again, I have nothing but respect. Uh-huh. I want to make it very clear. I'm not questioning that at all. But you're telling me has the ninth highest Q score of any athlete. And we haven't said the name Tiger Woods yet. We haven't said the name LeBron James yet.
You have to think about the number of people that might look at those athletes negatively. Like, that's a big part of it, too. It's not just how famous they are. We're not ranking the top 10 most famous.
So how is Steph not on this? Everyone loves Steph.
Everyone loves Steph, but he's not among the 10 most loved current athletes.
So how many names have we not yet said?
So we don't have number 1, we don't have number 4, and we don't have number 6.
Is number 1 from another Olympic sport?
No, number 1 is from baseball, and number 4 and 6...
Get the hell out of here. Baseball...
You'll understand when I tell you.
I know who it is. Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani is correct. Shohei Ohtani owns the highest Q score of any current athlete.
Wow.
That's impressive considering all the criticism that people have given to Shohei for his ability to speak mm-hmm. English and his ability to do multiple things. Apparently, mm-hmm. I was just about to question the methodology of this, but
makes sense, right?
Okay, so Shohei Ohtani is one. Go over what we've said so far.
Okay, sure. Ohtani's one. Michael Jordan's two. Simone Biles is three.
Let's just stop for a moment.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
Michael Jordan's two.
That's outrageous. So that's just because some people don't think of him favorably.
That's all.
Yeah.
So we
don't think of Michael Jordan favorably?
Yeah.
Who doesn't think of Michael Jordan favorably? I mean, old Knicks fans?
Yeah, I don't know. All of Detroit?
There's a lot of those. So we're missing number four.
Isaiah Thomas's family?
We're missing number four. Four is a football player. Alex Morgan is five. Six is a football player.
Four is a football player.
Is that
Tom Brady?
Four and six are football players, and they're not Tom Brady, and these guys are currently teammates. Number four and six are the only two outstanding people on our list. They're teammates. They ranked four and six in Q score among active
Dak
athletes.
Dak Prescott?
Mm-mm.
Hold on.
Once you get the team, you'll get the player. But there are teammates at number four and number six.
Russell
there are
Wilson?
No famous football players, except for like a couple quarterbacks, and they both wouldn't be on the same team.
But once
team.
You get the quarterback... Once you get the quarterback, I think.
Well,
the next
from the way you're saying that, it obviously isn't Aaron Rodgers.
It's not Aaron Rodgers.
His teammate isn't there anymore, no. And his teammate wouldn't have been that level of famous anyway.
he's not viewed that favorably, in relation to these people.
No, I understand that, mm-hmm. but I don't know who it is you could be talking about. Who are we forgetting?
Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes?
Patrick Mahomes is correct.
And Kelsey.
And that's correct too. Yeah. So Patrick Mahomes is four.
Wow.
And Travis Kelce is six.
I wouldn't think that his that enough.
This
people
is the
would
most ridiculous
him.
List yeah. I've ever heard this of in is, my entire life.
These are the ten most favorable.
Who did this? I want the methodology.
This is Sportico, and these are the 10 most favorably viewed athletes.
Have we said the 10 already? All 10?
Yes.
Are there anyone we're missing?
Should I go through?
All right, read them again.
Okay. Number one is Shohei Ohtani.
Number one is Shohei Ohtani.
Number two is Michael Jordan.
Number two is Michael Jordan.
Number three is Simone Biles.
Number three is Simone Biles.
Number four is Patrick Mahomes.
Number four. Is Patrick Mahomes.
Number five is Alex Morgan.
Why do I keep saying it?
I don't
keep
know.
Going.
Number six is Travis Kelce. Number seven is Giannis. Number eight is Neymar. Number nine is Suni Lee. And number 10 is Shaq. You seem skeptical.
It's a great list, though, because this is the point of a list is to get people on the radio yelling about it, and this is perfect.
Skeptical doesn't even begin to describe my reaction
do you
to
not
this.
Do you not know what this is? But no, Q score is they're measuring what they're saying. They're measuring these aren't the 10 most popular people. This is how favorably you view these people, and I think the names on this list actually kind of make
but
sense.
But it's favorably combined with popular, like
in some sense.
Yeah.
But there's a certain baseline of familiarity right. that you need to reach, and they gotcha. All do. But obviously, Suni Lee is not close to as famous as Michael Jordan, but she's viewed comparable in terms of her.
So in this country, Neymar. Is well known enough and viewed that more favorably than Steph Curry?
That's right. That's right, according to their data.
It's outrageous.
I find that
he did have a documentary,
complicated
recently on Netflix.
Steph?
No, Neymar.
Oh, Neymar.
So I mean, maybe that's. Let me see. Give me
the one thing everyone seems to be watching in this country now that I have not started is Formula One. That's the one thing I do mm-hmm. find myself wondering: am I missing something here? Because I was wondering if it might be one of the Formula One drivers, and I realized I wouldn't know how to guess what their names are. But I am. You can't miss the fact that this seems to be something people are very into.
No.
You know what else I noticed very quickly Saturday night, Dominique?
What's that?
So I'm watching Carolina Duke, like right. I perceived everyone on the planet to be doing. And I would go over during commercials and just check to see what people are tweeting. And at one point, I made note of something, and I kept going back to see if it continued, and it did. Through the entirety of that game, the number one trending topic on Twitter was WrestleMania. And Duke Carolina was two. Now, there were also like five different things from that game that were trending. It was like Coach K and like a bunch of different stuff. But WrestleMania was the number one trending topic on Twitter through the entirety of the Carolina Duke game. What does that say, Neek?
A lot of 12-year-old boys have Twitter? I don't know. Like, I am not here to denigrate sports entertainment, but I would always think that a good sporting event would dominate
it's enormous.
Social media.
I mean, the WWE is enormous. Yeah. McAfee was there Sunday night.
Oh, yeah,
that's
cool.
I mean, that's just insane. That's the
so
biggest
when are you
going to
do it
done.
Is the real question.
When am I going to do wrestling?
Yeah, you got to at some point.
You know, I grew up watching it. I
of
did grow
you
up
did.
Watching it with my brother, and we liked it. I would do it. If Vince McMahon gives me a call and says, Greeny, come out here and kick a football into the sternum of Vince McMahon like McAfee did the other night, I will. All right. Neek, it is a pleasure, as always. Thank you. Get back to me on dinner tonight. You're invited. We roll along. Thank you, everybody, for being with us, and we'll see you tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.